The 2021 legislative session got underway last week, and this week, lawmakers got to work in earnest on their biggest job, the state's budget. In his State of the State address last week, Governor Brian Kemp made his budget priorities quite clear.
Thanks to the passage of the CARES Act, conservative budgeting, and our measured reopening of Georgia's economy, our rainy day fund remains strong. Other states are looking at further cuts to employees and essential services. For aid, they're now forced to turn to a dysfunctional and distracted Washington, D.C. But because we acted swiftly and early, the budgets my administration will propose in the coming days include no new cuts to state agencies and departments, no furloughs, no widespread layoffs to state employees, and I might add, no new taxes to pay for it all. But now, as we begin a new legislative session, our state still faces headwinds due to uncertainty in the global and national markets. But it is our job to till the earth, pass budgets that put hardworking Georgians first, and get ready for planning.
Here to talk about how budget negotiations are going and what the final product might look like is Stephen Fowler, political reporter for GPB News. Stephen, thanks for joining us today.
Always a pleasure, Chris.
Well, the budget process, regardless of the party in charge, has always been somewhat of a contentious thing. How close are the governor and General Assembly in terms of what they want to do with the budget?
Well, looking at the governor's proposal this year, it's really unchanged from how we passed the budget last year with all the cuts because of the COVID pandemic. And so this week it's been the Joint Appropriations Committee hearing between the House and the Senate, where they heard the governor's presentation of his proposal and then heard from a bunch of state agency heads about maybe what they'd like to add in addition to that. And there's a really good quote from the hearings from Kelly Farr, who's the Office of Planning and Budget Director. And he said that the budget draft from Governor Kemp is flat like a crepe. And what he means by that is that most of the agencies in the state government are not going to get new money, or the proposals that they wouldn't get any more money than what they're getting in this fiscal year. Some notable exceptions there is education. K-12 education took a big hit, just like all the other agencies did with the pandemic, but they're going to restore about 60% of those cuts in the governor's proposal, and it compromises almost all of the new proposed spending for the amended fiscal year plan.
Well, K-12, that you already covered that. What about the University of Georgia? How will that sort of funding be impacted?
Well, there's going to be a pretty big increase in basic funding for the university system as well. Education is a priority of the governor and of the legislature. And when times are tight, that's been the one kind of sticking point that these lawmakers will continue to do, because other agencies have said they're able to make do with less or experiment with teleworking or other things like that. But when it comes to, you know, K-12 education and post-secondary education, it's already not flush with cash. So lawmakers try to do what they can. Another perk in there is about $400 million for construction and upgrade projects on various school campuses. So that's what we're going to see in regards to higher education. And of course, all of this is contingent on what the House actually writes up in their version and what the Senate actually agrees to. And so this is kind of just chapter one of the budget conversations.
Sure. Well, with COVID-19 numbers on the rise, healthcare is certainly on the minds of many. What might the numbers look like for that in this new budget?
The interesting thing is that the Department of Public Health isn't asking for new money, necessarily any new money. And on the surface, that may seem like kind of a surprise, because we're in the middle of a pandemic and, you know, public health is an important thing. But what we're seeing in that agency, as well as the state government in general, is that there's been a lot of federal money that's come in, federal relief money, the CARES Act and other things that's really helping pay for a lot of these shortfalls and a lot of these extra work and things happening. And with the Department of Public Health, for example, some of the federal money comes with matching requirements from the state. And so while we're getting some help from, you know, Washington, D.C., there's others that we're not committing to because we just can't have the state provide more funds to match. So there is, you know, more coming for healthcare with the new Biden administration. Public Health Commissioner Dr. Toomey says she's looking forward to working with them to figure out a vaccine distribution plan, because she said on the healthcare front, Georgia has everything they need in place to roll out the vaccine, except for the actual vaccines. Mm. And that's not something you can necessarily appropriate enough money to do when it's things beyond your control.
Sure. Well, how good a job did lawmakers do at allocating funds and predicting the needs caused by the pandemic in the 2020 budget? I mean, will any changes need to be made, do you think?
Well, that's part of what the governor's message and the state economist's message and the Office of Planning and Budget Director's message is that the cuts Georgia made last year that were roughly, you know, $1.6 billion in cuts, put them in a position to kind of weather the storm of the pandemic and things that are happening. And some of it is creative accounting in the sense that, you know, agencies eliminated positions that had been vacant for years and years and years and switched to teleworking because, you know, showing up to an office isn't the brightest idea right now. And so All that said, the reason we're adding some money back into the amended fiscal year budget, which runs until June 30th, is because the revenue collections have been better than they expected, because, you know, all of this is contingent on how much money the state actually brings in. But what remains to be seen is when tax season comes around, and a lot of people may be getting refunds because, you know, they had their taxes taken out based on them working for a whole year. And with a lot of people losing their jobs and such, there's probably going to be some volatility there. So they're trying to thread the needle between making sure that these agencies get enough funding to do their jobs, but not putting the cart in front of the horse and spending money that might not come in.
Well, that's a good segue into this next question. Kelly Farr, the governor's budget director, was quoted in the AJC saying, quote, "In uncertain times, we are creating a budget that gives a lot of certainty. I think it still gives the governor the flexibility to do what is necessary if revenues don't show up," end quote. What might this flexibility and certainty actually look like?
Well, I think it goes back to what Farr said in these hearings about it being flat like a crepe. Mm-hmm. You know, we made the state budget estimates, the governor made those estimates and the budget he signed last year based on kind of a worst case scenario of the economy being bad because of the pandemic. Right. And we know that it's better than it was then. So if you keep it at the level that it was at the height of the beginning of the pandemic, then you know you've got some wiggle room because you know that things have gotten better to some degree. But that flexibility comes from, you know, waiting to see what actually comes in. And that's why with the amended fiscal year budget, which is, you know, this last quarter of this fiscal year, the money is going towards something that is guaranteed, so to speak, of K through 12 education. And, you know, if things continue to be better, some other things can be slotted in. So that's the kind of flexibility that he's talking about.
Well, and speaking of those other things, I mean, certainly healthcare and education we've covered as main points of focus. But what other things should people be looking out for with the state budget?
Well, one of the big priorities that the governor has mentioned throughout his term, and especially this year, is investment in rural Georgia. There is going to be dedicated money in this amended budget and next year's budget to help continue to roll out access to rural broadband. That's been a long-term project for lawmakers in the state to figure out. There's going to be money for a rural innovation fund that is going to be paired with this strike team that he's put in place to continue to get investments and jobs and companies coming to Georgia outside of the metro Atlanta area. That's been a big focus because while metro Atlanta is a big economic driver of the state, there's, you know, still plenty of jobs and employees and people outside of that area. And it's a focus that the governor and the legislature has continued to have. And there's money for that as well. And transportation and infrastructure is not necessarily the hottest of topics and one that gets a whole lot of debate, but there's more money there to improve upon the infrastructure across the state as more people and more businesses continue to come here.
That's Georgia Public Broadcasting's Stephen Fowler. Stephen, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.